Hi guys, my name is Nina Bright. Welcome to Nina's Narrative. Today we're going to be starting a series called PD Pro. So we're going to be talking about how to effectively implement different professional development types into your school setting. We're going to be focusing on one form an episode. So today we're going to be talking about professional learning committees, or PLCs for short. So I know you're tired of that typical style of PD, you know, where you and all your colleagues sit down in that dreary old conference room and you just listen to someone drone on and on about a topic or a style of learning you can't even relate to your class. So today, we're going to try to change all that because we'll be diving into the world of PLCs. So let's start by defining what a professional learning community is. A learning community is a focus on and a commitment to the learning of each student. So when a school district functions as a PLC, educators are going to organize at high levels of learning for all students as both the reason the organization exists and the fundamental responsibility of those who work within it. Okay, so let's talk about how we implement this into our school districts, into our schools, and what that means to us as members of a professional learning committee and community. So we must first realize, as members of a PLC, that all of our efforts must be assessed on the basis of results rather than intentions. We can mean all the good in the world for a student, but if we aren't getting the results that we are searching for and that we need in our personal classrooms, then why are we doing it? As a member of a PLC, you must realize that you are in a constant search for a better way to achieve goals and accomplish the purpose of your organization. So, to start, you need to gather evidence of current levels of student learning. Knowing where students are in your school district is so vital, because how are you going to effectively implement any new strategies if you aren't keeping up with the progress of your students? You need to develop strategies and ideas to build on strengths and address weaknesses in that learning. So, developing strategies for one student and catering to one student is not a smart idea. You need to be able to cater to all students and have little sprinkles of extra help for students who are not progressing as fast. Next, you need to implement these strategies and ideas. So it's not enough to just say, hey, we're going to do this. You have to say, let's do this, let's track it out, and let's see where it goes. You know what I mean? So after you implement these strategies, you need to analyze the impact of the changes to see if it was effective, and if it wasn't, how you can tweak these strategies that you are implementing into your classrooms and your schools. So, if Sally Joe is really struggling with comprehension, and you implement a new strategy, can't think of one off the top of my head, but if you implement it, and it's working for her, but it's working for none of the other students, try to tweak it so that the strategy can be used across the board, or mostly across the board. And then, so we need to apply new knowledge from what we've learned. That's our next step, is applying new knowledge from what we've learned to the next group of kids that we have. So if it's your first year teaching and you try a classroom management skill that kind of works but has problems here and there, again, we need to adjust to the changing climate of the classroom, and making sure that we are catering to all students and all needs. It's not about learning a new strategy, but creating conditions for ongoing learning. As teachers, we have to be inventors and innovators. We have to use experimentation. And if we aren't constantly learning, how are we going to teach our kids? So once again, going over what we learned, in order to have continuous improvement, we need to gather evidence of the current levels of our students. After that, we need to develop strategies and methods to cater and build on strengths of all students and address weaknesses in that foundation. After that, we need to implement these strategies, and then we need to analyze the impact of this. So we need to measure growth, ungrowth, and see if it was effective or not. And then we need to apply what we have learned from the from analyzing the rises and falls of the technique that we have just implemented. That's all I have for today. Thank you all for listening in. And next week, we are going to talk about the unconference, which is, well, you'll find out.